Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the latest Bang the Table podcast. I am the Doc, John Macaroon. This podcast made possible thanks to FanNationSI.com. Man, what a wild contest it was between the Lions and the Bears. It did not really, that game, an NFC North divisional showdown, did not fail to deliver. What a contest at Ford Field. Here to break it all down. And at the end of the podcast, you'll have an opportunity to listen to what Cam Sutton told me and a small group of reporters after the Lions' stunning victory. Woo! I think that contest really had an opportunity to be a trap game. It really did. I didn't think that the Lions overlooked the Bears, but I just thought that potentially maybe the game plan going in maybe didn't suit the Lions as much as it needed to. Boy, did the Bears come out and play their game early on. You saw Justin Fields really take it to the Lions defense, moving the football quite well. It is interesting to kind of break down why the Lions made so many mistakes. I think that the Bears really came in focused, looking to make a name for themselves, feeling disrespected by the NFL world. I thought Justin Fields had a solid performance all the way up until the end of the game. And you realize that teams that struggle at times, they end up doing things that end up hurting them. And I think for the Bears, ending up kicking a field goal instead of going for it on fourth down really, I think, opened the door for the Lions. And you see where Dan Campbell's aggressiveness ends up helping a team, whereas a coach like Matt Eberflus, where he decides not to be aggressive, knowing that you're facing an opponent on the road like the Lions with an explosive offense, it ended up costing the Bears. And when the Lions finally kick it into gear, when the Lions were able to finally get their momentum offensively, boy, it showcased that they can be an explosive offense. But that was a game against an inferior opponent where you can afford to turn the football over four times. And Jared Goff maybe even could have had another interception, a pick six that eventually was dropped. So obviously, everyone knows that Jared Goff did not play his best game there at Ford Field against the Bears. But in the end, just like Dan Campbell has said previously, you never make excuses for wins. They're tough to come by. Dan Campbell had his team ready and firing at the right time, and the defense made the play of the game late when Aiden Hutchinson blew past the Bears defender, got to Justin Fields, swatted the football away, and the football ended up being kicked out of the back of the end zone. So in the end, the Lions leave that contest 8-2, and they face on Thursday on Thanksgiving in front of the entire NFL community, in front of the entire football world, as they will be the only game on at 12:30 on Thursday. The Lions will take on the Packers. So the Lions, they escaped. But I looked at that contest and I thought, okay, did I feel like the Lions were completely out of it? No, but it did raise a lot of questions regarding that defense. And against the Bears team, like we said, you can make those mistakes. You can play a C game and still end up winning because the Bears, just like teams in the past that you all know and have seen, when bad football teams end up having to execute late, they don't. When they have those short third downs, they even have a play that's so kind of easy to execute. The Lions were able to stop the tush push and late in the game that allowed them to have an extra possession offensively. You recognize that who's the most explosive player on the Lions, and that's Jamison Williams. How do you let him get that wide open in your secondary? Breakdowns like that tend to happen to bad football teams. I mean, it's clear that the Lions were going to need to score and score fast. And you allow Jamison Williams to get that open in your secondary, that should be one of the guys that you understand needs to be a focus of attention. And that's why a lot of teams do that prevent style defense so that you don't allow a team to just march down the field that quickly and take a 35-yard shot into the end zone. But early on in the game, Justin Fields, again, raised some concerns for me regarding the Lions and their ability to stop a mobile quarterback. I think that he had some rushing lanes. He was able to break contain a couple times, and he led that Bears offense. And you saw a talented wideout in DJ Moore being able to kind of get behind the Lions defense and make plays. I look at that contest in two ways. One, I'm very impressed the Lions were able to come back and secure the win. Jared Goff I thought, rallied the troops, and in the critical moments, the Lions were able to flip the switch. Now, we're not used to seeing the Lions flipping a switch. That's why everybody's like, whoa, 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 and they're trying to project out if the Lions could play that way in the postseason and win. No, you can't. Against better opponents, against a caliber of an opponent like the Seahawks, like the 49ers, Eagles, Cowboys, the Saints, you can't make that many mistakes and still come out on top. And the Lions know that. Luckily, in the remaining seven games, there's an opportunity to clean things up. And I am definitely intrigued by this football team's resiliency, their willingness to play a full 60 minutes, and things like that. But you're tempting fate playing like that. It's clear. The Lions aren't one of those kind of teams where they can continue to play like that and get wins. If they play like that against the Packers or the Broncos or the two division games against the Vikings or the Bears game on the road, they're going to end up with a loss. So they know that. They know that they got to clean things up, and they know that hopefully after the Packers game, they have another opportunity with a little mini bye to clean things up. Aaron Glenn, in his last media session, really kind of downplayed it. And I know these coaches, when they talk publicly, they don't call out their players. They try to spin things positive. And Aaron Glenn definitely is one of those individuals that's not going to throw his opponents or his roster under the bus. But he's a real coach. He definitely lets his defensive backs and the defense know when it's time to step up. But at the same time, he also understands that these are players and it's an offensive league. So there is a little bit of leeway there in regards to still being patient while this defense tries to figure it out. But it was clear this defensive line did not pressure Justin Fields enough. They did late, and that's a sign of a good team as well, is that when the lights are the brightest and your coach and Dan Campbell calls you over and says, this is the moment, you go out and execute. And I think Dan Campbell timed it perfectly. He has the pulse of his team as well as Aaron Glenn. But you made your life more difficult. I thought this was a game the Lions could have handled easily if they had started things differently. If offensively, they would have maybe took a couple more chances. The turnovers really made that. Those turnovers were killer. When I look at that game, as the Bears kind of gain traction, you sometimes see early on, and everybody says, well, what's a trap game? Well, it's a game in which you go into it and you're just not executing at the highest level. You make mistakes. And many in the media said the Bears only have a chance to be in this game if the Lions shoot themselves in the foot repeatedly. And they did. Three Jared Goff interceptions. Obviously, the one to LaPorta, where LaPorta runs into a Bears defender and falls down. That's not Jared Goff's fault. But the other two, I think that one in which Edwards is right there, Goff didn't see him and he owns it. And you recognize Goff also had another couple that could have been intercepted. So he did not have his best game. And those are the kind of things that alarm people, is when Jared Goff does not play well. We'll look at that maybe a little bit later on. But when the time was right, and the time, obviously, the Lions knew in the fourth quarter with less than 5 minutes left, they're down 26-14. They know it's go time, and they just moved the ball methodically, and they were able to still maintain what they wanted to do. It really does speak to what Ben Johnson has created and the confidence that whole offense has. And whew, we do got to talk about it. The play that really sparked the offense was Jameson Williams. I referenced it, wondering why the Bears would allow a player of that caliber to get behind him, knowing that that's really the only deep threat that could potentially have the Lions offense score within a play or two. And boy, you look at Jameson Williams and you kind of start to see the maturation right before your eyes. It's fun to see. And, it's interesting that Jameson does show up when he does have a touchdown in the locker room and is willing to talk for 10, 12 minutes. But in a performance after a game where he has some drops in that locker room, don't see JMO. But I understand you want to protect your players, and sometimes you don't want players talking in a situation after a bad performance. But he was right there enjoying the limelight when he had the good game. And that's fine. I understand that. And let's see how he handles things moving forward as he progresses. But it's a talented individual. Clearly has the speed. Clearly needed time on task, like Ben Johnson said. Clearly a player that just needed more opportunities. But he only had two catches. One being, obviously, the touchdown that was impactful. And that's what Jameson Williams can bring to the table. Now, again, you do have to reference that it's against the Bears, not one of the better teams in the league, not one of the established teams, obviously one of the worst teams in the league. Now, let's see Jameson Williams do that against the Packers. Do it against the Broncos, who will be targeting and trying to limit him. Do it against another opponent, and the Lions need to get him more involved. He's allowed to have five catches. He's allowed to have multiple touchdowns. He's allowed to be more of a focus of this offense, and it could potentially happen. But I think that a telling comment Dan Campbell referenced was saying that, hey, Jameson's part of the herd. He's doing the work and just being around, practicing hard, blocking, running correct routes is earning him more targets, and they're bringing him along slowly, and that's the way the Lions have chosen to use him. I just think that in a game like that against the Bears, you could have broke the game open sooner had you used your weapons a little bit differently and had you potentially not made so many mistakes and not made so many critical errors offensively and not doing what you need to do defensively. But Jameson is maturing. He's indicating he understands. He understands team football. He understands regularly that he says, I don't have – And publicly, he's not saying, I have these goals individually. He's all about winning. He's enjoying being part of a team that wins. And that's a true definition of a team player. That's a Lion. That's a player that the Lions are looking for. Is not somebody that wants to hog the spotlight and be all about himself. But definitely is more comfortable speaking when there's good things to talk about. And he is talking weekly. I do give him credit for standing in front of the media every single week on his media day. But after games, obviously, certain players sometimes are not there when there are losses or there's things happening that you may want to talk about during the game or after a hotly contested contest. But Jameson Williams, I think, is accountable. He is learning to be a team player and is learning to kind of balance that that having that raw talent versus putting in the work to maximize your talent and being more reliable, earning the trust of Jared Goff and the rest of the team. And I think a telling comment, a question that I'd asked Amon-Ra St. Brown last week was, are you starting to see it? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. Jameson's putting in the work. He's obviously seeing what all the talented receivers on the team are doing, and he's taking the advice of the coaching staff, which has started to benefit his game. And it's good that Jared Goff looked to Jameson when they needed a quick strike. And I'm just wondering how much more involved can he be as the team moves forward, especially now in on a game Thursday, when maybe some players could be tired or banged up. Jameson should be fresh. He should be having the young legs and the opportunity maybe to even do some more things, be more of a target along with Donovan Peoples-Jones in this next contest. So we'll see. Good win by the Lions. After the game, had an opportunity to catch up with Jack Campbell one-on-one. As Alex Anzalone was talking to the media in front of the television cameras, I caught up right there with Jack Campbell briefly for a couple minutes. And then a person that you just have to listen to is Cam Sutton, an individual that, you know, over the past couple weeks has had his ups and downs, but is a vocal leader, is somebody that many of the members of the defense respect and plays at a high level. And when you talk to him, you're not going to get a short answer, which is great, I think, for a podcast, in that you get his insights regarding if the Lions are a special team. Does he, you know, his reaction to the plays that were made, seeing what it was like being part of a wild contest like that, and knowing that a young member of the defensive line made a play, especially in a critical moment when the team maybe could have had a last second loss. So Cam Sutton, I think, is a wonderful listen and one that should be featured on podcasts a lot more because his delivery and his depth of knowledge and his willingness to express himself comes across a lot more, I think, a lot better in an audio format as opposed to writing everything down that he said. And it would take forever to transcribe everything that Cam Sutton said. We make an attempt, but I definitely wanted to bring you that, knowing after the game, it was later on in the opportunity to talk to players, but I wanted to talk to Cam Sutton, and I was asking a lot of the early questions, then the rest of the media came down. So the Lions are 8-2. They're a good football team. They're catching the attention of the NFL world. Roger Goodell was in town at Ford Field. The Salute to Service Award, he handed it to the winner there at Ford Field. I thought it was obviously the Lions fans wanted to boo the commissioner, just like the bit that everybody in the league does. And there's reasons, obviously, that Roger Goodell is not one of the most popular commissioners. But in the end, I think that he is starting to reward the Lions for a lot of their efforts. You're starting to see the Lions get a lot more TV coverage. You're starting to see kind of things turn around the Lions' way and giving more opportunities like hosting the draft, maybe down the road in the next decade, maybe to host another Super Bowl. So that's where it's at. I think that's one thing is to look at is how the Lions rebound and get better over the next few weeks because they can't play like that. Jared Goff rebounded. You got to pay attention to his turnovers. They are starting to elevate a little bit. It does make it a little bit more challenging, but the team does have enough weapons to come back when they do, in fact, make a mistake. And I look at it, too, is that David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, have a real good rapport and really can set the table for this Lions football team moving forward. And I think it'll be interesting to see the distribution of touches amongst Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sam Laporta, and you have weapons offensively, and it'll be interesting to see how much the Lions can lean on that offense, that quick strike explosive offense versus, you know, handing the ball off and being controlled. And the other thing I definitely want to peek into is how the offensive line looks if Jonah Jackson returns and taking a deeper look at Colby Sorsdahl and how the coaching staff felt he did as he transitioned over there to left guard to replace Jonah Jackson. But in the end, you all know that are listening, that was a game that in the past the Lions would lose. Clearly, in years past, you know, either the Bears would have taken the football down the field and won the game, or they would not have allowed all those plays that the Lions made down the road. The Lions only had 1.2% chance with four minutes and 15 seconds left to win that game. That's it. 98.8% the Bears were likely to win that game, up by 12 with 4:15 left. And the Lions, against all odds, were able to win that game. And the locker room was ecstatic. A lot of the players were super thrilled that they were able to come back. And it shows that, one, leadership is strong. Two, the timing was excellent in the opportunity to come back against a team that you're clearly better than. And I think that, again, could give you confidence moving forward that, okay, we have a couple games here against the Chargers and the Bears that we didn't play our best football, but we still ended up winning. And I think that's a good sign for this 8-2 football team, keeping up with the rest in the NFC. As I'm recording this, it's a Monday afternoon. I'm hoping that, obviously, clearly, you hope that the Chiefs are able to defeat the Eagles, which gives the Lions another opportunity to inch closer to be the number one seed. Clearly, they currently hold the number two seed, and firmly, it doesn't matter what happens. The Eagles will still this week be the number one seed. But moving forward, as their schedule gets tougher, the Eagles' schedule is a lot tougher than the Lions. You have an opportunity to kind of jump them in the future should the Eagles fall on some hard times. But the Lions, they overcame mistakes. They were able to make the key defensive play late, and that's key. Yes, it was a struggle. Yes, the defensive line still needs some help and still needs to figure out more ways to get more pressure. They played well. They were able to stop the Bears at the most critical times. And that's still something you have to credit. Jared Goff still was able to make key throws in the fourth quarter, even though the game was sloppy and messy and all that. And you had the special teams turnover thrown in the mix as well. But in the end, it's a 60-minute game and nobody on that team panicked. Nobody on that team really thought at any given juncture that they were seriously in jeopardy of losing that game. They always kept it close, and there was an opportunity late to execute, and they did. So to finish off this podcast, definitely want you to listen in to what Cam Sutton and Jack Campbell told me in the locker room. I thank everybody for tuning in to the latest edition of the All Lions podcast. Thanks for your support of All Lions. Video highlights, videos daily, freshly uploaded, lots of content, great writers in Christian Boer and Vito Cherko, lots of great content covering the Lions 24/7. And we appreciate everybody that has made All Lions a stop along the way. And I appreciate everybody that listens to this podcast as we continue to grow it, do it more regularly, and continue to grow the All Lions community. We greatly appreciate it. And it just provides us more opportunities to talk to players, have in-depth interviews, get inside that locker room and figure out what's been going on with these Lions. And the coverage that we've had this year has been definitely improved from years past as we continue to grow and build relationships with the Lions. It's great. And now to have opportunities to have conversations with members of the team and learn more about them, it's great that we're able to bring you that. So definitely take a listen to what Cam Sutton and Jack Campbell had to say. Thanks, everybody. All right, take me through what just happened there. That was a wild comeback win in the fourth quarter.
Nothing. That's just the attrition of the league, attrition of a football game. You know, the back and forth between success and obviously adversity. You know what I mean? And that's just a testament to the team. You know, playing complimentary football, playing 60-minute football. You know, and never out of the fight. You know, so hats off to all the guys. Again, like I said, just staying together. It's never about, like I said, what we're capable of doing. We know what we're capable of. It's just what we're willing to do for each other, what we're willing to do for our brothers. So as long as we keep standing on business and, you know, keep fighting together, we'll be just fine.
Aleem just talked about it. You guys fight until the clock says 0-0. What goes into that mindset that allows a team to keep fighting even though things maybe not be looking the best?
Just the opportunity in itself. You know, every time you step out between those white lines, you got an opportunity to affect the game and, you know, be a difference on us coming out on the better half and obviously winning games. And like I said, you're going to have success. You're going to have failures. You know what I mean? We're not going to get everything right. You know, we're not going to execute every time. Obviously, that's the goal, you know, to do that thing. But, you know, teams get paid to do their job, and they're going to make plays and things like that too. So just fighting for every blade of grass. As a defense perspective, you know, limiting points, getting off the field, especially in these critical moments when we have to, just to give our offense, you know, more opportunities to do what they do with the ball. And, you know, just overall, just a great win, man. Just a great win.
Absolutely. And obviously, what does it mean, Aiden, to make the key play? Obviously, one of your guys is defensive leaders.
Yeah.
Pressuring the quarterback all the time, but maybe just not getting home with the sacks. But what does it mean to him when the Bears are trying to make a comeback and he makes the key play with that safety?
Yeah, he's relentless, you know. Even all our guys up front. We talk about having a motor, being violent, you know, finishing on the ball, getting 11 guys to the ball each and every play. And obviously, like I said, just stepping up in those critical moments, you know, coming down to the end of the game, be able to close the game out for us, which is really huge.
What was the mood of the defense this week coming in after the game like you had last week?
Another opportunity. Like I said, it's not about, you know, what we did last week. You know, we don't dwell in, past experiences. You know, you only gain and learn from them. You know, so to be able to come out of that week, you know, have a great, really good, strong week of practice, preparation. And then, obviously, like I said, coming in this week, you know, riding the wave of a game, but being able to come out a better half of that again, you know, it's really good for us.
What did you see from their offense? What were they able to get early on from you guys?
You know, just, again, that's just a continuous, you know, operation throughout the league, you know, finding ways to challenge us, finding ways to challenge our defense. You know, they did a great job of just trying to get us in certain looks. And, you know, whether I was relying on a run game or kind of having some zone re-element, you know, to challenge your eyes and be able to kind of get you in and out of some gaps and things like that. And then obviously in the pass game, you know, just some three-level type throws and, you know, getting them in and out of the pocket and obviously what he does, you know, scrambling around too. You know, so, you know, they did a really good job of just obviously mixing up the game, you know, for us. And then obviously just to combat that, you know, the defensive side, again, just standing up. In those moments, you know, settling in, you know, obviously getting out of those first kind of 10, 15 scripted plays where he had a lot of success and then just locking in and honing in as a defense. So
Dan had said that winning a division game kind of counts as two wins. What does it mean now to get the win now in a division?
Yeah, you know, that's the most important. You know, I think that's the foundation, you know, taking care of your division, you know, obviously taking care of the teams that you see twice a year. And, you know, that's a statement thing, not just for me, but for everybody, you know, to be able to come out of this conference, to be able to represent this conference, and then obviously just being able to dominate this conference. You know, that's what we look not just to do here, but, you know, every time we step out on the field. So that's two down. You know, we got, you know, a lot of ball and, more down the road for us. Obviously, we got another big one coming in on Thursday in the division as well. So we just got to keep it rolling.
What was Dan's message to you before you guys took the field?
Say that one more time.
What was Dan Campbell's message to you guys, the defense, before you took the field late in the game?
No message. You know, nothing new. You know, obviously, like I said, another opportunity to go out there on the field and give a stand up and get our offense the ball back. You know, we talk about playing complimentary 60-minute football. You know, so it's not about obviously how you finish, you know, and obviously the highs and lows throughout the game, you know, until that clock says 0-0, you know, we keep fighting. So just being able to get out the field in those critical moments when we had to, and then obviously offense, you know, punching it in for us and closing out the end, That's just good complimentary ball.
Hey, Cam, when they're up 12 with 4 minutes to go, what's going through your head? What's the mood on the sideline?
Nothing. You know, obviously we're in, you know, we're in a challenge situation. You know, we got to be able to manage the game well and manage the operation on both sides of the ball. You know, having enough time for offense. Well, one, you know, winning on early downs, first and second down, we were able to stop the clock. You know, we were able to get off the field on third down as well. And then obviously offense is able to put up a quick score after the punt. And then kind of in that last drive, you know, obviously, like I said, just being locked in the moment, knowing what they're going to do, and just playing relentless style ball to be able to close it out.
Is there ever a doubt that you guys were going to come back and win that game?
No, never a doubt in our game. No doubt at all. Again, these are situations that we're well aware of. This is something that we preach with our team, you know, just being aware of those situations throughout the week. You know, that's just a testament to a good team, good coaching. You know, you see the same similar situations throughout the league each and every week. You know, kind of coming in that 4 minute drive, those 2 minute drives, and kind of learning how to close out games and how do we learn from them too. So, being able to put ourselves in those situations and want to take that ownership to be on the field. You know, want to be in those moments. And you know, again, just good win. Really good wins.
Count the same, but when he got back in the locker room, how'd this one feel?
It's amazing, man. You know, it's amazing. You know, this is our work, man. You know, we really love each other. We really stand together, man. And it's showing for us. It's showing for us. You know, I don't speak on other situations or, you know, in the past or kind of these guys being together. But, you know, obviously being in this moment, you know, just really playing a really good brand of football and looking to keep building off of that. So.
Did you ever play on Thanksgiving in Pittsburgh?
No.
What do you know about Thanksgiving here? What's that
going to
be like?
Not much. I know we got the early game. that's about it. But, again, that's special. You know, I was able to do, like, Christmas, New Year's, things like that, too. So we're able to do good holidays. You know, but this will be my first Thanksgiving day. So, obviously, again, thankful for, you know, the blessings. Thankful for, again, the opportunities, just being able to do this, do things that we love, our family, the appreciation, just overall life, man. And, you know, looking to get another one, so.
You've been part of a lot of good teams with the Steelers. Starting to feel like something special being
there. No doubt. You know, 1 week at a time, you know. Again, finding a way to win games like that, you know, that's just obviously testing the strength of the team. And then, yeah, man, the sky's the limit, man. I mean, we don't have no ceiling to what we can do, you know. And, you know, I wouldn't want to go to war with anybody else, man. So, like I said, we really get after it. We really hold accountability, offense, defense, special teams, and we're just hungry, man. We're hungry to play together, to excel, just to be able to change each other's lives and affect each other's lives, man. And when you got a compassionate group like that who just, you know, just want to do their best, you know, win, lose, or draw, you know, anything can happen. All kind of special things can happen, so.
Take me through what just happened there. What a wild game that was.
Yeah, I'd just say just a resilient group. Just kept fighting till the end, and we stuck together as a team. So just so proud of all the guys today to go out there and do what we did. So.
Just your initial reaction now. You see a game like that. It's going a little bit opposite of what you guys want, but then at the end of the day, you guys fight through 60 minutes of action. What's it like now for you when the Bears have the ball there last couple of possessions?
I mean, again, it's a full fight for the full 60. You got to lock in every single play, do your job. Never get too high, never get too low. Just know that the 10 other guys are dependent on you, and honestly, that's just the mindset I feel like everyone has on this team. And I'm just lucky to be a part of it. So.
Yeah, and then obviously that last possession there, Aiden gets that key play, ball, a safety man. Take me through that play. What was your reaction when you saw it?
No, I mean, Aiden's just a special talent, and that's what he does. So I couldn't be more proud of him. He's a better person than a football player, though, and that's what I appreciate about him. He's going to continue to work hard, and he's just a very, very special player. So.
Yeah, you're part of an 8-2 football team. You're a rookie. What's it been like for you, man? This is crazy because, you know, this is a football team that it's kind of sometimes been on the opposite side of games like that. Now you guys are winning it. What's it been like for you, man, just personally?
Just take advantage of it. It's hard to win in the NFL, so anytime you get a win, just really embrace it. And for me also, like, just – continue to push and give this team everything that I have, knowing that everything's that in front of us that we want. So.
And then your just initial thoughts on playing Thanksgiving in front of the national audience, Packers.
It's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. I'm getting ready for it. So.